The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
The Ezekiel Elliott signing was bad. But it's so much worse than you probably would have guessed. Or maybe not. More on that in just a second. First, Below the Belt is presented by A Number One Air. You know, we were talking about the Jets earlier, Chop, and how they're kind of a mess right now. They fired Robert Saleh. That's one of the reasons, you know, all that turmoil that was there. That's one of the reasons that led to his firing. And they put Jeff Ulbrich in place. And I wanted to play this clip because I've been meaning to bring it out this week. But I mentioned it last night when I was doing Cowboys Crosstalk with Joe Looney. Was Jeff Ulbrich played in the NFL. He's now the interim head coach there for the Jets. And by all accounts, people love him. They're like, he's so awesome. He connects with players. He's great. He's a former player. He spent 10 years in the NFL playing with the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. Former third round pick. And this was a really cool clip, I thought, from Jeff Ulbrich last week, talking ahead of the game that they were about to play on Monday Night Football against the Bills. And he was asked about, hey, you know, you're coaching now.
Yeah.
Did you always, or were you one of these players who always wanted to be a coach? Like, you got into the game, you're like, man, as soon as I get out of the game, I want to coach. And he gave what I thought was a fantastic answer about his evolution to become, wanting to become a head coach. I thought it was a really cool story. I wanted to play it.
Yeah, it was really late in my career, because I remember early in my career saying, why would I want to do that? You know, you'd look at coaches' faces by the end of the week and be like, has he slept? You know, and I was like, that's craziness. And later in my career, year 7 or 8, wherever it was, we had drafted Patrick Willis. And safe to say, I didn't beat him out. So I became the backup. And in doing so, I spent a lot of time with him. And we watched a lot of tape together. We did a lot of extra on the field. And I still remember, it was just like yesterday, we're playing the Cardinals, and I'm on the sideline looking on. At that point in my career, I was a four-course special teamer and the supporter of Patrick Willis is what I was, and the probably the assistant coach to Patrick Willis. And I remember he makes a play in the Cardinals game, and he snaps his eyes to me, and I look at him, and I was like, and it was something we had worked on and focused on that particular week, and I was like, that felt better than any play I've ever made for myself, you know, and it was like, I'm hooked.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't like him. I was just doing some getting ready for the show, and Sarah said, "Oh, that's a daddy."
Yeah, yeah, he definitely looks like
he's a good looking guy.
He looks like he could be Sam Hartman's dad.
He does. He really does. I'll be honest with you. I was looking at some like old game photos. I don't think, because he had a mohawk. You don't have a mohawk and become a head coach in the NFL, typically, right? That's not the look.
Not typically.
It's not the look they cultivate.
I mean, Belichick may have had one at some point.
Yeah, I can see that, right? There's the guys with reverse mohawks.
Sure.
Right? You do the wash,
mm-hmm.
the Ron Washington haircut. But I mean, look, you've mentioned this before. I do think the league is going to go to more player coaches, and you just got to have, but they could be, they're walk-around coaches more often than not.
A lot of times, I mean, some of it is scheme-based.
Dan Campbell's not coaching position.
Campbell isn't, but, I mean, there are other guys who are. So, I look at it this way. Think just right now, without thinking very much about it, Chop, just start listing off to me the guys that you think of, like, man, that's a great coach. Just start listing off the head coaches currently in the NFL.
Start listing them off?
Just the guys you think really highly of across the NFL. Dan Campbell.
Campbell, former Shanahan. Player. Oh, former players only?
No. Just list them off, and we're going to identify which ones.
Obviously, Campbell, Shanahan.
Shanahan, college player, but not really. Wouldn't count
where
that.
Where did he play? I don't even know.
Texas.
McVay played in college. McDaniel did not.
No.
But I think really highly of him. I think really highly of Raheem Morris.
Former player. Kevin O'Connell, former player. D'Amico Ryans.
I forgot about that.
D'Amico Ryans, former player. People
Gerard Mayo. People think highly of him.
People are loving Gerard Mayo. Things have gone sideways a little bit, but people were all in on Antonio Pierce at the end of last year. Former player.
They were.
I think what you're starting
Tomlin.
To see.
Tomlin.
Like we see, you're starting to see players who are, because we would see that in the past, right? Dungy was a great head coach. Dungy was a former player, but it's a lot of times it felt like the guys who would become coaches and have success with it were role player careers. Maybe they spent a year or two, or they were a special teamer for 3 years and then fell out of the league and got into coaching. D'Amico Ryans was a legitimate player in the NFL.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Had a long career. Ulbrich, if Ulbrich hits, Ulbrich spent a decade in the NFL.
I don't know that I remember him.
That was a bad San Francisco team in the 2000s, and yeah. he was
the Jeff Garcia years.
Yeah, I mean he was on the 49ers the day that T.O. went to the Star. He was out there at that game. I think he was starting for the 49ers at linebacker that day. So Jeff Ulbrich had a long career. D'Amico Ryan's like we talked about. Kevin O'Connell didn't have a storied career, but he was around the league for 5 years as
Mayo
a backup quarterback.
For a while.
Mayo was a really good player. So I do think, and Antonio Pierce was, I remember Antonio Pierce getting under my skin as a Cowboys fan growing up. As a Giants fan, he used to just annoy the hell out of you. And so I do think that in the era of more of these NIL kids who, like we mentioned earlier today, when they become essentially, you know, some of these deals that a junior in high school is getting, not a lot of them, but the very top recruits, the very big names out there, like the biggest names that are out there, when those kids are getting money on top of the table, under the table, when they're getting money and they're living a certain lifestyle, and then they go to these programs and they're making, like Matt Rhule talking about a quarterback making $2 million every year he's at college. He may get to the NFL before he signed his rookie deal. You could be talking about a first-round pick quarterback who's made $7, $8 million before they got to the NFL from high school and college. And that player walking into it naturally is probably going to have some entitlement.
Sure.
And I don't mean that in a bad, just a young player who's been given praise and lots of money. It's easy for anybody's ego
you
to get out of control.
You could be a college quarterback right now.
Mm-hmm.
Senior. Or let's say you're a junior, you got one more year left. So you're in your third year of NIL already.
Yeah.
And then next year get drafted and you walk into an NFL locker room and there's a guy who was drafted in the sixth round and it's been in the league for 4 years and you make more money. You've already had more money than them.
Yeah.
You got more money than a 4 year starter in the NFL.
Yeah. And I mean, like Quinn Ewers, for instance.
Player.
Quinn Ewers, I don't know what his exact value is, but I mean, he got $1 million at Ohio State.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And then he's been at Texas and had a bunch of, I bet Quinn Ewers is $5 million. I bet he's got plenty in the bank. And so the idea of, man, it's already going to be really difficult to reach these players in all likelihood, because it's like you have no idea what experience I've been through or the kind of, like, people have been telling me I'm awesome. People have been willing to throw money at me for years now. I think it's going to trend more and more towards, it's going to be really hard for them to listen to a Bill Belichick, who it's like, not only are you domineering and you're trying to tell me around, you didn't even have the success I did by the time I got to the league. I've been more successful already before I even got here. Than your career was. Look at all the money I made, did this and that. And I think it's going to be easier if it's coming from Jeff Ulbrich or D'Amico Ryans or one of these guys who went through an NFL career and made their money and can say, yeah, okay, you can't talk that to me, though. I'm telling you how you continue that success at this level because
right.
I've done it. And I think that's going to be an easier reach at the NFL level.
Yeah,
and
Belichick
we'll see more of that.
Might be the one guy that can, because he's, I mean, nobody's done it more. But you're right. I still think it's more difficult because there's going to be guys coming in the league that were like in eighth grade when Bill last won it.
Oh yeah, and I mean Belichick. I don't mean Belichick specifically. I just mean Belichick will be really difficult to establish, I think, into the future. All right, Ezekiel Elliott has not played well. Chop, we know this. We know
he leads a team in carries every week.
We know it's been a little bit of a struggle. So I went through and I found the top 15 running backs that change teams this offseason as free agents. So this is by cap value, by their cap hit. So I went and found the, or by average salary. when found the highest average salaries, the top 15 players that got paid this offseason at the running back position, who changed teams, not re-signed. And I went through and I just looked, okay, let's sort their average salary. Let's look at what their cap hit is. And then let's look at how effective they are. So out of these top 15, Ezekiel Elliott's cap hit in 2024 is the highest in the NFL. Now, it's partially because it's a little bit of funny math. It's the $6 million cap charge that was split from his release the previous year. And then it's the $2 million that he's owed this year. And so it's a $8 million cap charge on him, though, this year. And so some people may say, well, they didn't choose to pay him that. To me, I say they absolutely did, because they didn't even entertain a pay cut. And if they, and Ezekiel Elliott would have. And so they still cost themselves money. It was still something they chose to put on their books. So that's an $8 million player on your cap this year. That's how we're counting it.
Couldn't afford Derrick Henry.
The next highest paid player in the NFL, Chop, at the running back position out of these top 15, his cap hit this year, is $5.8 million. It's $2.2 million lower than Zeke. It's DeAndre Swift. Now, what's amazing to look at here is that, okay, Zeke, number one in the NFL out of these 15 running backs in terms of cap hit. Let's look at how he does relative to raw numbers and analytics. So out of these 15 backs, Chop, total rushing yards, where do you think Ezekiel Elliott ranks?
In total rushing yards?
Just among these highest 15 paid free agent running backs, where he is the highest paid.
15th.
He is 13th out of 15 with 115 yards. He's just ahead of Gus Edwards and Cordarrelle Patterson. Where do you think he stands in terms of rush yards per attempt? So not raw rush yards, just
15th.
He is 15th out of 15. Okay, well, there we go. Let's look at advanced analytics. We like those, don't we, Chop?
We do.
Rush yards over expectation. That is you're expected on every attempt, you're expected to get a certain amount of yards given down distance, everything like that.
Does that count for the hole that they're given?
Yeah, it does in a lot of them. So where does Ezekiel Elliott rank in terms of rush yards over expectation per attempt out of 15 running backs?
15th.
He is 15th.
By the way, you said his cap hit is what?
$8 million.
You know, the Lions' cap hit of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs combined is $9
million. That sounds about right. EPA, per play efficiency, expected points added. EPA per attempt out of 15 players, out of these 15 running backs, where does Ezekiel
15th.
He's not 15th, he's 11th.
Oh, well, okay.
So there you go.
Almost top 10.
He's got it. Now, to your point about which would you prefer as a stat that tells you that guy's playing well, rush yards over expectation or EPA?
I would assume EPA.
Okay, EPA. Let's go with the top ones there on EPA. Who's number one of the free agent running backs that change hands? Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's number one. His cap charge, $3 million less than Ezekiel Elliott's. Well, number two, Austin Eckler.
Okay.
Austin Eckler's hit is $5 million less than Ezekiel Elliott. Next one, Cordarrelle Patterson.
All right.
His is $6 million less
Go balls.
Than Zeke. Aaron Jones. Couldn't pay Aaron Jones,
no,
could you?
No, he was tremendous.
No, though. Not a bit. Certainly needed to pay Zeke's cap charge $4.5 million more than Aaron Jones, who's fourth among these 15.
Me and Will Chambers, our biggest fight. Our biggest fight was Aaron Jones.
Just absolutely ridiculous. But to your point, Chop, when you look at the list here, the lowest cap charges, the three lowest, Cordarrelle Patterson, Alex Mattison, J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, some of these guys that are on the lower end, largely are like near the top in terms of efficiency.
Cool. Yeah, I love to see it. I love to see it. All right, there you go. A little bit of a below
the belt.
The belt here on 105 through the fans. Getting a little baseball. Loaded 9 o'clock hour. Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns at 9:20. John Morosi coming up next here on 105 through the fans.